Good morning. Great to have you all here. What a great time of worship. What a great time celebrating our vets, thinking about orphans around the world. And this morning, we're excited to continue our series on Heroes on Mission, where we're looking at people in the Bible who heard God's call, became the people that God wanted them to become, and did the things that God called them to do. And I have the privilege of extending that this morning in our fourth look at our fourth hero. But before we do that, I want to call your attention to something that's really important, and that is this survey that's in your bulletin. So I'm going to ask you to pull that out right now. Most of you are aware of the fact that we are in the process of looking for a new senior pastor, a new lead pastor for our church, and a search team is entering what's called the development phase. We have finished the part of the phase where we've consulted various people and clarified how it is that we want to move forward on this process. And now we're in this second phase called the development phase. I remember years ago, someone told me that all miscommunication is the result of differing assumptions. And we all have different kinds of assumptions about what we think we should have in a pastor. And it's really important that we clarify what those assumptions are, and we get out on the table and we agree together, this is what we're looking for. So that's what this development phase is all about. Trying to get on the same page and say, what are we all together feeling that the Lord is directing us toward in a new pastor? And so the search team wants your input on this. And so that's why they've put this survey out. We encourage you to fill that out, and you're going to hurt my feelings if you do it during the sermon. I was thinking I won't be able to tell whether they're writing notes or writing on the survey, but it is yellow. Anyway, it's really important that you fill it out. You can take it home and fill it out if you want to. You can fill it out this morning. There are boxes in the lobby on the care tables. There are members of the church board back there that can answer any questions you have about this or the search. And we just want your input, okay? Now, I know that there are a lot of people who aren't here this week. This will be available next week as well. But the deadline for turning in the surveys is November 20th. And then we go into the work of compiling all of this input, trying to put together the profile of who it is we're looking for as a pastor. So do this and do it prayerfully, as the search team is doing everything prayerfully. And we really appreciate your input, and we really value it, okay? Okay? All right, great. Well, as I said before, we are in a series that's called Heroes on Mission. And so far, we've looked at Daniel and how we can gain God's perspective. We looked at David and how we can develop God's heart. Last week, Gina helped us look at Lydia and how we can be a seeker after God. And this weekend, I want to speak about Philip and how we can learn to share God's message. I have to admit that last week when Gina was talking, I was sitting there listening to her. She was talking about God drawing people to himself and a messenger being sent, Paul, and he goes and he finds Lydia, who is a seeker after God, and she responds and believes, and then she's baptized, and then her household comes to the Lord, and then the gospel begins to spread. And I know that this week I'm preaching on Philip, and I read my storyline, and it's exactly the same. It's exactly the same. God has a call on his life. He goes toward Gaza. He meets this Ethiopian. He shares the gospel. He gets baptized, and the gospel spreads. I thought to myself, how am I going to do the same message that she did last week? And then I realized that there are two sides to this story. There's the side that we looked at last week, Lydia, who is the recipient of the message and how it transformed her life. And there's also the side of the messenger, the one who delivers the message. And that's what we're going to look at this week, the other side of the story. Because I believe that there's something for us to learn, as we did last week, from the recipient side, and there's something for us to learn this week from the messenger side. Because God has all called all of us to be bearers of his message. So with that as an introduction, I want to read to you the passage that's the basis for our study this morning. And in honor of God's word, I'm going to ask you to stand up, and let me read to you from Acts chapter 8, the story of Philip. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. And so he started out. And on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all of the treasury of Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship. And on his way home, he was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. And the Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot, and he heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you're reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" And so he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of Scripture. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter. As a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" And then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. And as they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here's water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot, and then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about, preaching the gospel in all of the towns until he reached Caesarea. Let's pray. Yes, let's pray. Father, thank you for this incredible story, this incredible passage of Scripture. And I pray that as we look at it this morning, and as we try to understand how your Spirit was working in the life of Philip and how he was working in the life of this Ethiopian, how you orchestrated this, brought them together so that your message could be communicated to a person who was trying to seek after you, that you would show us some principles today and that you would challenge us individually and collectively as a church with the responsibility that you've given to us and the privilege that you've given to us to be bearers of your good news to those who have not yet heard. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. The question that I want to answer this morning from this passage is, how is it that we can share God's message? How can we share God's message, and particularly, how can we share it effectively? Now, at the outset, I want to say that the message that's shared in this passage is the good news. It's the gospel. It's the story of how Jesus came to the earth and gave his life to redeem people from sin. And that's the emphasis of this. But I want to point out that that is not the only message that we communicate to other people. And so these principles about how to share God's message are applicable in a number of different situations. Let's say there's a person who is hurting, and God calls us to go deliver a word of comfort to them. Or maybe there's a person who's discouraged, and God calls us to come and give a word of encouragement to them. Or maybe there's a person who's confused and doesn't know what to do, and they need some counsel on God's direction, and God wants to use us to give direction to them. Maybe there's a person who's wandered off of the trail of following Jesus, and they need to be admonished to get back on the trail, and God tells us to bear a message to them. There are many different aspects to God's message in people's lives, and these principles are applicable to all of them. But again, the focus is on the good news. So let's look at these principles. Principle number one, listen. Listen. Discern the Spirit's promptings. Acts 8:26. "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.'" And so Philip starts down that road, and he receives another message from the Lord. The Spirit said to Philip, "Go to that chariot and stand near it." The first principle is that we need to learn to discern the voice of God and his direction in our lives. Jesus told us that we are like sheep, and that sheep learn the voice of their master. John 10:27. "My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." It is something that we learn. There's a first time for hearing God's voice in our life, and we learn how to become more attentive to it. Remember the story of Samuel, who was taken and lived in the house with Eli. One night he was asleep, and he heard this voice, and he thought that it was Eli. And so he ran into Eli's room, and he said, "Yes, you called me." And Eli said, "No, I didn't call you. Go back to bed." And he hears the voice again, and he goes to Eli again. Eli says, no, I didn't call you. Happened several times. And then Eli discerns maybe God's talking to him. And it says the voice of God was rare in those times. He says, if you hear the voice again, go back and say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening, which Samuel does. This is the first time that Samuel hears the voice of God, and you can read the whole rest of the book of 1 Samuel, how he learns to hear the voice of God. He follows the voice of God, and God uses him to do tremendous things in the nation of Israel. Now, God is speaking, and he speaks in many different ways. You remember last week when we heard the story of the Apostle Paul. Somehow the Spirit prompted him not to go into Asia and not to go into Bithynia, and then he gave a vision of this Macedonian saying, come over here. And Paul said that he concluded that God had called him to speak in Macedonia through a vision. You maybe remember the story of Elijah and how he heard the voice of God. 1 Kings chapter 19. Then a great and powerful wind tore through the mountains. They tore them apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he pulled the cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. There was some kind of gentle whisper, some kind of prompting. I don't know if you've ever heard the audible voice of the Lord. I haven't, but I have experienced that prompting, something inside of me where I know the Lord is saying, you need to go do that. And we become more and more sensitive through our spiritual lives to discern the voice of the shepherd and what he is telling us to do. I read one person who talked about even the value of writing and journaling in hearing the voice of God. And I've experienced that myself. He said there are four keys: stillness, listening, writing, and receiving. Watch this in Habakkuk 2. I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. Stillness. I will look to see what he will say to me, listening, and what answer I will give to this complaint. And then the Lord replied, write down the revelation, writing, and make it plain on the tablets so that the herald may run with it. And Habakkuk knew the sound of God speaking to him, receiving. You have the same process when the revelation is given to John. John was in the spirit, stillness. He heard the voice behind him, so he listened, told him to write it down, and then God gave him the vision and the revelation. There are different ways that God speaks to us, but we need to learn to be attentive to his voice. The first step in sharing God's message is to listen to God. Number two, then we need to walk. Then we need to move. Then we need to step into the unknown zone. God's message in this case was go. Go toward Gaza. And so he started to move toward Gaza. And then go over toward the chariot. And so he went over toward the chariot. And this is one of the messages that God gives all the time. Go. Go. Abraham, go to the place that I will show you. Moses, go to Pharaoh. The disciples, go into all the world. Paul, go over to Macedonia. Philip, go down toward Gaza. Go. And so he went. And one of the things that I want you to see here is that often the Lord doesn't reveal the whole journey at the beginning. He says, go toward Gaza. Now, sometimes when God says, go toward Gaza, you think you're going to end up in Gaza. You make a wrong assumption. He just wants you to head that direction, and on your way, he's going to give you another message to do something different. There's the guy. Talk to him on the chariot. Okay? But you need to go. You need to move into the unknown. I remember Pastor Ron talking about this like stepping stones across a river. You can't see the whole way across, but you step onto the first stone, and then you can see the second one, and then you make your way all the way across. This is how God reveals his will to us, one step at a time, but we need to go. We need to go into the unknown. This is called, by Bill Hybels in Walk Across the Room, the zone of the unknown. This is what he did. This is what Philip did, 8:27. And so he started out. We need to leave our circle of comfort, and we need to go into the zone of the unknown. Now, there are some things that you can anticipate in that zone, all right? One of the things that you can anticipate is that God is going to lead you to a divine appointment. He is sending you to someone. Acts 8:27. And so he started out, and on his way, he met the Ethiopian eunuch. On his way, Paul met Lydia. On his way, Philip met the Ethiopian. God is leading you to someone. You need to be alert to where is and who is that divine appointment that he is leading you to. And how are you going to know when you see the person that that's divine appointment is? I think it's going to be because you see some seeker attitude. All right? You see some seeker attitude, a seeker mentality. Acts 8:30. Philip ran up to the chariot, and he heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. And Luke tells us some very important things about this man. He had gone up to Jerusalem to worship. He was reading in the book of Isaiah, and he asked Philip a question: what is this about? There was some kind of looking, seeking after God. He was wanting some kind of help in some kind of dimension of his life that was spiritual. And we're going to be able to discern where our divine appointments are when we see that. Why? Because no one gets into that situation if God is not already at work in their life. Romans told us there is none that seeks after God, no, not one. And John told us this, John 6:44. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. That was Gina's point last week. God draws people into believing. And so when we see someone who is interested in spiritual things, that's not an accident. God is at work in their life. God is leading them to himself, and he's leading us to them to become a participant in that process of bringing them closer to God. So the first step is to listen to God, and the second step is to walk and take a step into the unknown zone. Third, talk. Talk. Open up a spiritual conversation. Spiritual conversation involves two things: asking questions and giving answers. Asking questions and giving answers. So first of all, we need to learn to ask questions. Acts 8:30. Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you are reading? He asked. It's important for us when we encounter people who are seeking after God to have some questions that we can ask them. Now, maybe you'll get one on the spot, but it doesn't hurt to have some on what I'll call your evangelism tool belt. All right? Maybe some questions that you've learned and that you've prepared for use in the future. Philip's here was, do you understand what you're reading? Maybe you see a person who seems to be troubled and you say, what is troubling you? And that can lead you into a spiritual conversation. Maybe someone's telling you a story in their life and you discern, you know what? Like we did with Daniel, something's happening behind these circumstances. God is doing something. And you say, do you understand? Do you understand what's happening? And now that opens up the opportunity for a spiritual conversation. Or may I pray for you? What can I pray for? Leads you into a spiritual conversation. May I tell you a story from my own life? All right? Questions. Conversation starters to open up a spiritual conversation. Talk. Questions is the first part. Then we also need to be prepared to give answers. Acts 8:34. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? And then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. He knew the message. He knew how to explain it. Peter tells us that we need to be ready to give an answer for the hope that's in us. 1 Peter 3:15. In your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason of the hope that you have. And do this with gentleness and respect. So on our tool belt, maybe we have some answers, okay? Some principles from God's word that can help in particular circumstances, and so we can explain those principles. Or maybe we have some stories from our own life and our personal experience that we have available that we can begin to share with other people. Or maybe there's an illustration, something that helps to make the gospel message or another part of the gospel message clear. It helps us to have illustrations. One that we've used in the services before is a very simple explanation of the gospel. All right? It's called Do and Done. How many of you have heard that before? Oh, you haven't? Okay, well, here it is. Do and done. Religion is all about do. Do this. Do this. Don't do that. Don't do that. Rules and regulations, that's religion. Not so with Christianity. Christianity is not about do. Christianity is about done. All right? We are sinners. We don't have the power within ourselves to do what's right. Somebody had to pay the penalty for our sin and empower us to do good. And Jesus did that when he died on the cross for us. And what did he say on the cross? It is finished. It's done. And all we have to do is step into what he did and receive his power and grace in our lives, and we're going to be transformed. That's the difference. You want to be in the do, or do you want to be in the done? And we have the simple messages and illustrations that we can have on our tool belt to help people understand how to follow Jesus and how to come to Jesus. I also want to say that one of the things that keeps us from talking and entering conversations is that we're afraid that somebody's going to ask us a question that we don't know the answer to, right? Come on, been there, done that, right? Okay, somebody helped me years ago with a great response. Here it is. That's a really good question. I don't know the answer. Can I research that and get back to you? That's a really good question. I don't know the answer. Can I research that and get back to you? And oftentimes, you can set that question aside and continue in the spiritual conversation. You don't have to have all the answers. But let me tell you one other thing. You might be surprised that God just gives you one right in the midst of that situation. Look what the Bible says in Luke 12. And when you are brought into trial in the synagogues before the rulers and the authorities, don't worry about what to say in your defense. The Holy Spirit will teach you what needs to be said even as you're standing there. You may not know what to say, but as the question is asked, the Lord may give it to you. And you also have the possibility of throwing upstairs what I've heard people call a flare prayer. Lord, you don't even have to say it out loud. Lord, give me the answer. Nehemiah 2:4. The king said to me, "What is it you want?" Then I prayed to the God of heaven, flare prayer, and I answered the king. There it is. God is going to help you. God is going to help you. Here's the most important thing, all right? You need to remember that it's not about your ability. It's about your availability. It's not about our ability, it's about our availability. And God is going to empower us and use us. And then I want to say one more thing about this talking. And that is, we need to make sure that we take them to the cross. They can go to a counselor for counsel. They can go to a teacher for instruction. But only God is going to transform their life. And so we need to make sure that we take them to Jesus. And that's what Philip did. He told him the good news about Jesus. So listen, walk, talk, and then number four, act. This is invite them to act, encourage a next step, invite a response, ask them to do something about it, to take a step of action. Acts 8:36, and as they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here's water. Why don't I be baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. And then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but he went on his way rejoicing. We need to challenge people to take the next step, the next action. Would you like to pray the sinner's prayer with me? I'll help you. Do you want me to go with you to make that phone call to the person that you need to ask forgiveness to or to make restitution to? Do you want me to set up an appointment for you? You want to tell somebody? Let's go tell somebody what just happened, and it affirms it. That's what baptism is. That's what's going to happen this morning. These people are going to act on what they did, inviting Jesus into their life, and they're going to tell somebody. They're going to tell all of us. All right, and it's going to affirm that decision because they took an action in their hearts. Now, I want to tell you, this is one of the most difficult things about sharing God's message. Probably the start and the end are the two most difficult parts, getting the conversation started and then calling for some kind of response. All right, we will weasel out at this point, all right, and not ask the question, but we need to ask the question. I remember several years ago, my youngest son was playing basketball, and they made it into the regional finals. And they went to the finals, and when they saw the other team, it was, oh. Every person on the other team was big and was about 4 inches taller than every person on our team. So they started the game. And as our team started to make shots, every time they made a shot, it was blocked. Made a shot, blocked. Made a shot, blocked. Pretty soon they quit shooting because they were so intimidated. And we're standing in the stands and we're yelling out, shoot the ball! Shoot the ball! Because if you don't shoot the ball, it's never going to go in the basket, right? And here's the deal, folks. We may feel like we're not a very good shot, but why don't we shoot it up there and give the Holy Spirit a chance for a tip in? One more step. Do it again. Acts 8:40. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. There it is. How can we be heroes on mission? One way is to look for people who, like Lydia and the Ethiopian, are seeking God's presence. And then become an instrument like Paul and Philip to share God's message. We listen. We walk into the unknown. We talk. We act. And we repeat it over again. Incredible, huh? Incredible message for us from Philip. Well, I'm excited today that we have some people here who, just like the Ethiopian, heard the good news, responded to it, and said, where's the water? I want to be baptized. And they're going to get baptized this morning. And I was trying to think about what is a way that we can explain in very simple terms what baptism is about. And I thought, you know what? It's like a birth announcement. It's like a birth announcement. Here's a birth announcement. Okay? Now think about this. Leave that up there for a minute. Think about this, okay? So what is happening when a person is baptized? They are saying, I had a physical birth, but now I've had a spiritual birth. The Bible talks about two births. It talks about us being born of the flesh and born of the Spirit. Born from above, a second birth. And they're communicating that, okay? They're communicating that to us. It's an announcement of the new birth. Now, last night I didn't catch this, but this is really a better picture than I thought. Because this baby is delivered. And we are delivered from sin to God, are we not? Amen? Yeah. And it even gets better. The physical birth doesn't come with an owner's manual, but the spiritual birth does. Is that great? Number two. Here's another one. This is my granddaughter. She was born a year ago. You can see there, 7/27/15. When I see this picture, I celebrate. I have a special blessing. And I was thinking about what it's like when you have a child or you have a grandchild. There's something special about it, isn't there? And there's something special about it to God, too. It says the angels of heaven rejoice every time there's a new spiritual birth and a new baby is brought into the kingdom.